Leviticus chapter 21. In chapters 11 through 20, we've been studying about the sins or defilement of the people. And boy, I tell you, we've studied all the way from sores and scrapes on the body to fungus in the houses, as far as it being pronounced and considered unclean. The seriousness of sin and just the depths of sin that's in the world, just the picture that we've sensed from that in chapters 11 through 20. But tonight we enter into a two-chapter section, chapters 21 and 22 of Leviticus, which deals with the priesthood. And tonight we're going to take chapter 21, and it deals with the defilements of the priesthood. And in case you should get a sense of the seriousness of serving the Lord in a priesthood position, and what does defile a priest or cause someone to be disqualified from serving as priest, you get a sense from under the law how serious God considers sin and how holy one must be in their approach to the things of the Lord. And of course, Jesus Christ has come as our high priest. He came and he is sinless. And therefore, we have a high priest that is without sin that intercedes for us. But as we're going to see tonight, that even though we are not under the law, God is still the same. He still sees the same seriousness of serving him. And lest you think that this is just for the priesthood, as it was in the Old Testament, we'll see tonight from the New Testament, that God's people, all of them, have been called as a kingdom of priests. And just one passage of Scripture by Paul that encourages believers that there is and should be a separation between believers and non-believers in the way we live, how we conduct our lives. We sense that seriousness and importance tonight. Leviticus chapter 21, next week chapter 22, dealing with the defilement of the priesthood. And the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, none shall defile himself for the dead amongst his people." This is touching dead people. Because death comes because of sin. Death represents sin. Every time someone dies, it represents the works of sin and the effects of sin on the physical body. So, none shall defile himself for the dead amongst the people, except for his relatives. There are exceptions where the priest can be involved in the bodies of the dead ones. For his relatives who are nearest to him, his mother, his father, his son, his daughter, and his brother. Also his virgin sister who is near to him who has had no husband. For her he may defile himself. So if he has a sister that's never been married, she's a virgin. Of course, once she's married, she becomes one with her husband. And I think what is interesting here is that once she is married, and even though she is still his sister, if she should die, he is not to defile himself by touching her physical body and being involved with that in a physical way. Otherwise, he shall not defile himself, being a chief or head man amongst his people, to profane himself. They shall not make any bald place on their heads. This is the signs of mourning. This is not people like me who are losing their hair. These are people, as the heathen would do, they would cut their hair and they would cut their beards as a sign and show of their mourning and expressions of grief because of those who have died. Those who represent the Lord and the priesthood were not allowed to do that. Otherwise he shall, verse 5, they shall not make any bald place on their heads, nor shall they shave the edges of their beards, nor make any cuttings in their flesh, to denote mourning and lamentation. They shall be holy to their God, and not profane the name of their God, For they offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and the bread of their God, therefore they shall be holy. And the seriousness, I mean, just the spirit of what's being said in this chapter, and of course next week too in chapter 22, is just mind-boggling. Because here's God expressing Himself, saying, you represent me, and you will not respond or handle life like the non-believers do. You will be holy and separate, and basically He says, you represent me. You are mine. You're not theirs, whoever they are. And interesting, the priest is allowed to defile himself for those nearest to him, mother, father, brother and sister, but and for his daughter and his son. But other than that, they can touch them, but he's not allowed to show the mourning that the rest of the people show for the dead, because they shall be holy. Verse 7. They shall not take a wife who is a harlot or a defiled woman, nor shall they take a woman divorced from her husband, for the priest is holy to his God. Three types of women that the priest were not allowed to marry. A harlot, a woman who has been defiled or unclean, and that amongst the Jews meant someone who is not a virgin. And thirdly, a woman who has been divorced from her husband. That is, and is very, very emphatic and detailed in the original language in the Hebrew, as it is with the Jews, because a woman to be put apart from her husband, the husband gives her the divorce, means that she is declared unclean in some way. According to Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1, is that a writing divorce of divorcement is to be given to a woman who is unclean. And Jesus mentioned the word fornication, which to a Jew means that after a man marries a woman and he finds out that she is not a virgin, she is considered immoral, sexually immoral. And so if a woman has been put off, given a divorce by her husband because of her, because she has broken the bonds of marriage, the priest is not to marry. The harlot, the woman who is not a virgin, nor the woman who has been divorced from her husband. The husband has given her the decree of divorce and sent her away. For the priest is holy to the Lord God. Therefore you shall sanctify him, for he offers the bread of your God. He shall be holy to you, for I, the Lord, who sanctifies you, I am holy. Whoever serves the Lord represents the Lord. It puts a lot of emphasis and gives a lot of meaning behind the hard words of Jesus. In fact, we were reading them this morning, and they have been the texts in the Gospels that people have had hard times with since the Scriptures were written. You remember when a man came up to Jesus and said, I want to be your disciple, but let me first go bury my dad. And Jesus said, you come follow me now, let the dead bury their own dead. There was no time for him to take care of his dad and bury his dad if he was going to serve the Lord in that capacity. My following you will have to wait because I've got to take care of my dad and bury him. Jesus said, you come now. You let those who are spiritually dead bury the physical dead. You come with me now. When people came to Jesus and wanted to be his disciple, he said, except you hate mother, father, son, daughter, houses, lands, for my sake, you can't be my disciple. And he wasn't saying, go out and show your hatred towards the members of your family to prove that you love me. The word hate is actually shows comparison with love. In other words, Jesus was saying, you must love me with everything that you have, your whole heart, to the point that it looks like you hate everybody else, because you can't serve them because you're serving Christ. And you stop and look at it, and it starts all the way with our children. And we did it when we were kids, and our children did it to us. If you're walking through the toy store, Or you're walking by the stores downtown and all the dolls and all the toys are in the window and all of a sudden somebody tugs on you and says, if you loved me, you'd buy me that. You know? I can see the looks like grandparents get that too. If you loved me, you'd do this for me. In other words, if you don't do it, you don't love me, which is not true. We all have that nature in us where if you don't do what I want you to do for me, then you don't love me. And people will even think that, well, you don't love me anymore. You're so wrapped up in the Lord that you act like you hate me. You don't do anything to please me. And Jesus was showing that our love can't be divided. It must be totally in and for the Lord. And those people who have a heart for the Lord are the ones who are going to encourage us and support us in fellowship. And the ones who don't have a heart for the Lord are going to oppose us. In fact, Jesus said, your enemies will be those of your own household. Because he said, I did not come to bring peace upon the earth, but I came with a sword. So that a family of five, two will be divided against three and three against two. And that your enemies will be those of your own household. So he says, you make a choice for Christ, there's going to be some drastic changes, great division, and there must be total commitment to Christ. Because as we've said so many times, when he died on the cross, not only did he die for the cleansing of our sins and the salvation of our souls, but he also purchased us. He redeemed us with his blood. These bodies are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Last week in Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ lives in me. So he says, I'm still alive. I have been crucified with Christ. Secondly, the presence of Christ is in me, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm still living, but it's not me, it's Christ who's in me. I have no choice what I do with my body or what I do with my life. It belongs to Christ. So if you have a complaint, go to the complaint department. I always used to say that whenever I would travel I used to do revivals. If any of you attended revivals where they have meetings every night of the week and a couple of them on Sunday. And I can remember my mother used to go, and of course they let her sit in the front row, and I introduce her to the congregation, and then I would tell them that now's your chance. If you have any complaints, here's the complaint department. But basically, if people have a complaint against us about our decision making, that we're making all our decisions for the Lord, and we don't have time to please anybody else. Well, the Lord's the complaint department. He purchased me. I have no choice. He leaves it up to me by choice, but I belong to Christ. We're dealing with a whole area here of family members. Jesus was expressing Leviticus 21 and 22 to the Jewish people. You want to be my disciple? Then let the dead bury their own dead and you come and follow me. That seems like very cruel. Because the Jews did bury right after death. So apparently, if this young man was separate from his father had not died, and what he was saying was, let me go back and take care of my sick dad, and once he has passed away, I'll come catch up with you. And Jesus said, no. You let the spiritual dead take care of the physical dead. The people who are spiritually dead and reject Christ, they have the time to do that. You know, and sometimes, and I've seen this happen in the past, I've seen Satan keep emergencies and necessities going and going and going week after week and month after month and even year after year till a person never gets around to following the Lord. There's always something. See the importance there? God says, I'm holy, and everybody whose mind that serves me is holy. They are separate and they represent me. Therefore, your approach to life and even those who die are to be different. You're set apart. You're to represent the Lord. Again, verse 8, therefore you shall sanctify him, for he offers the bread of your God. He shall be holy to you, for I, the Lord who sanctifies you, I am holy. The daughter of any priest, if she profanes herself by playing the harlot, she profanes her father, she shall be burned with fire. Very serious. Talk about preacher's kids. I would not want to be a PK under the law, especially a daughter. If she is to play the role of the harlot, she is to be burned with fire. And he who is the high priest amongst his brethren, on whose head the anointing oil was poured, and in who is consecrated to wear the garments, shall not uncover his head nor tear his clothes. And this has to do with mourning and lamentation. You remember when Jesus stood before the high priest? You remember when Paul stood before the high priest? And the high priest got so frustrated with them, and he tore his clothes. That was not allowed under the law. That was a breaking of the law. They are not to show any anger or frustration or lamenting or grief. They are not to tear their garments. They are the ones who have been anointed with oil, and they wear the clothing of the priest. Now that's kind of interesting, because as we went through and studied the anointing oil was symbolic of the Holy Spirit, and the garments of the priest was symbolic of putting on the whole armor of God. Each piece of clothing of the priest represented Jesus Christ. And we're told in the New Testament, you have put on Christ. You have been filled with His Holy Spirit. Therefore, you are a new creation. We serve Him. We represent Him. We're to be under His influence. So He is not to... He shall not uncover his head nor tear his clothes. Nor shall he go near any dead body nor defile himself for his father or his mother. Nor shall he go out of the sanctuary nor profane the sanctuary of his God. For the consecration of the anointing oil of his God is upon him. I am the Lord. And he shall take a wife in her virginity, a widow or a divorced woman or a defiled woman or a harlot. These he shall not marry. But he shall take a virgin of his own people as wife. Nor shall he profane his posterity amongst his people, for I, the Lord, sanctify him. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron, saying, no man of your descendants in succeeding generations who has any defect, it's interesting, these are physical defects, no defect may approach to offer the bread of his God. For any man who has a defect shall not approach, a man blind or lame, who has a marred face or any limb that's too long, a man who has a broken foot or a broken hand, or is a hunchback or a dwarf, or a man who has a defect in his eye, or eczema or scab, or is a eunuch, literally has had his parts altered. No man of the descendants of Aaron the priest who has a defect shall come near to offer the offerings made by fire to the Lord. He has a defect, he shall not come near to offer the bread of his God. He may eat the bread of his God, both the most holy and the holy. Only he shall not go near the veil or approach the altar because he has a defect, lest he profane my sanctuaries, for I, the Lord, sanctify them. And Moses told it to Aaron and his sons and to all the children of Israel. It doesn't mean that those, as the text said, those who are considered as defect, it does not mean that they do not experience less nor possess less of the promises nor of the blessing of God. It's just that they are not allowed to approach the Lord in the sanctuary in service to Him. The defects, as we have seen in earlier chapters, whether it be a scab or some kind of skin condition or some kind of sickness, disease, or what we would call a physical handicap, these are all listed as expressions of and the effects of sin in the world. And God says that He will not have it in the approach to the sanctuary. It is true that when Jesus Christ came, and earlier what I was talking about makes it why we cannot approach God. But Jesus Christ came and was the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb without blemish, who was our sacrifice, but not only that, He was our high priest. You see, he's the only one that could approach the Lord. He's the only one who is without defect. Every human being has defect. In under the law, it happened to be physical defects, as the Lord would see it, as far as service to the Lord. Not defects as far as worthiness of a human being to receive God's blessing and God's promises. But those who were to approach him were to approach him under these conditions. So you think that sin has an importance, especially how the Lord views our approach? You say, well, we're not under the law, but the Lord still has in spirit the same approach to the way we live and how we approach him. And we're talking here about lifestyle and physical condition as far as the approach to the Lord is concerned. And under the New Testament, do you think that in spirit, even though we're not under the law, it's the same holy God as in the Old Testament that has expressed himself through the law. Through the law, God expressed his holiness. He hasn't changed. But it's through Christ that we make our approach to him. But the sensitivity to how we live and what we do and how we approach the Lord and serve him is still true today. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. We were studying in Leviticus about the priesthood, and this is because of time. We're only taking one of each of these texts tonight. 1 Peter chapter 2. Beginning at verse 1, therefore laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow by it, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as a living stone. So Christ is the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore it is also contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore to you who believe he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. A royal priesthood, a chosen generation. We all, as we're studying in the book of Revelation, all of God's people are going to serve as a kingdom of priests during Christ's reign upon the earth. It's not just the minister's job, quote unquote. All of us are kings and priests serving under Christ. All of us represent him. All of us are in service to Christ as one, even though we all have various functions. Yet it is a priesthood. Let's turn back to Ephesians. Back to Ephesians chapter 4. Again, one place of many. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Not from Him, but you have not so learned Christ. There's to be a difference between the believer and the non-believer. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. And here's what that teaching is. That you put off concerning your former conduct of life the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. So again, the encouragement is to not live according to the old life, the former life that the Lord has saved us from. But as the Lord has guided us and as He has taught us, as we have learned Christ Himself and to walk with Him, so we are to walk as our minds have been renewed and the new life which Christ has made us. Paul says that we have become a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There is to be a difference. God is holy. He has sanctified us. He would have us to walk in our sanctification. There is to be a difference. There's no such thing in the Scripture as compromise in order to win people over. Never. It's walking in the Spirit of Christ, representing Him for who He is. And if people see us and our weaknesses and our failures, honoring to the Lord that we confess our failures and confess our sins. That is me. That is not the Lord. But that people might see the Lord in my life. And that's what's going to affect them. That's what's going to save them. That's what we want people to see. But there's no compromise. There's to be a difference. There's to be a separation. There's to be a walking in the newness of life and not like the rest of the people who don't have the Lord, who are walking in darkness, their hearts have been hardened. They're past feeling, they don't have a conscience. They just don't care. There is to be a difference. And as you can tell, just summarizing this tonight, taking Leviticus chapter 21 and again next week chapter 22 and just what we've taken in Paul and Peter's writings, you sense that there is to be a drastic difference between God's people and the people who have rejected Him and don't believe in Him. And yet you can see the laxity today because there are some believers who you can't tell they're believers. They live just like the non-believers. And God says, I will not have that. I purchased you. You will walk in the your sanctification. It's not performance, it's walking in the Spirit. Being obedient to the Lord and His Word, which a non-believer cannot do. And the main reason for it all is not to earn some kind of holiness or some kind of medal, but God says it's because we represent Him. That's what it's all about. He is holy, and He saved us in order for us to represent His salvation and His holiness. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we do thank You for Your Word. Just like the Scripture says, Your Word is profitable for instruction, correction, and righteousness. And Lord, we get so blessed, we get encouraged by parts of Your Word, we get convicted by Your Word, we get corrected by Your Word. But no matter what section of Scripture we study, the influence of Your Word continually brings to our hearts and minds the seriousness of sin and the awful effects that it has, even death. and you would not have us to handle those things, that death, both spiritual and physical, that sin causes in order to represent your holiness. And this world around us lies in darkness and in death, spiritual death, and you would have us to not touch it, but rather to represent the light and life of Christ. We just pray that you'd create within us a sensitivity that when we go, as we live, we represent you, we serve you, you have purchased us, you have purchased us with the blood of Christ, and that as we go, we are not our own, that our bodies, our souls, are all temples of the Holy Spirit, so therefore, as Paul says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. And again, show us that your view, how you see us, and how you would have us to live in response to you, in properly representing you, and to do that which is pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.